Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios on this Monday. And of course, it's Monday, so you know Rob is here. Rob, happy Monday.
Good morning.
Did you happen to take down one of those brush cows?
No, I didn't. That's a funny story. But anyway, we did not. One of my buddies shot a big one. But we pretty much just wanted to leave our presence in the wood. I really wanted to shoot my musket, but it just didn't work out this time. And I remembered why I hadn't been deer hunting since 1988, because it sucks. I mean, there's so many other things I'd rather do. I don't even want to go down the list because it would take 4 days.
Was this a get out of the house and just getting outdoors type deal?
Well, kind of, yeah, but it started because my buddies told me it was opening a muzzleloader, and I was like, well, just so happens I have a muzzleloader. Of course, it's 30 years old. I'm going to have to find some powder and some balls. But we managed to do that. And after I said I was going, you know how hard-headed I am, I was going. I figured I was going to shoot the biggest buck in the woods.
That would be deer hunters of the world's type luck. Somebody that duck hunts every day, go in the woods just one day, and walk out with a Boone and Crockett.
Yeah, I probably would have, but we couldn't quit farting and laughing. The guy was with. We were on the ground. I had him laughing so hard he was shaking the tree.
Y'all didn't even get the stand?
No. I'm afraid of heights.
I am too.
I have no reason to get in the stand and worry about a deer. The wind was blowing perfectly right back where we came in from. There's really nothing to worry about, and I remembered why I hate it so bad. That is a horrible, horrible sport.
I will say this. Your deer hunting adventure cost us Your deer hunting adventure plus your jitterbug phone that you use cost us a Greaseum Guarantee Golden Circle Marine Duck South College Pick'em Friday.
Yeah, it did, and you know,
could you not climb a fire tower somewhere and get some service on your jitterbug?
I tried to, man. Hell, I even drove to the interstate 15 miles trying to get service, and it was too late.
So you're telling me a jitterbug phone doesn't even get service on the interstate?
I mean, I had like a bar too, but I mean, by the time it was all said and done, I mean, what was I supposed to do?
Estes and I never run out of things to talk about, and while we were waiting on you, we actually ran out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I heard Estes talking about the Argo, I pretty much was over anyway.
Well,
I'm sorry. I mean, I really wanted to. It was my game of the year. I mean, I really wanted to. But, I mean, surely everybody by now knows to take Bama first quarter, first half. And that game was going to be my Greaseum Guarantee. I probably would have lost Ole Miss.
probably would have lost. I don't even remember any of the other games. I knew Kentucky was going to get hurt. You know, I don't know. It would have been another 6-2 with a Grissom guarantee and all that. I mean, hopefully everybody listening knows, you know, just to go ahead. And this week, playing State, I don't get too far into it. But anyway, we'll go down that road Friday, and I will make sure I have service.
I will say this. I would have missed out because Estes and I actually went over our picks while we were waiting on you. I would have missed out on the State-Louisiana Tech game. I was taking Tech because that was like a 23 or 24-point spread. State was favored in that one. I was going to miss on that one, I know. I was going to take Georgia. I was not going to miss South Carolina Ole Miss. I was taking South Carolina in that one. Alabama. I think who else played this weekend? Auburn and Texas A&M.
Charlotte, Tennessee.
I would have missed on that one because I was going to take Tennessee. I thought Tennessee would blow the doors off of Charlotte Bobcats.
Be honest, I didn't even know Mississippi State played.
I thought they'd be caught looking ahead and looking behind them.
Yeah, they better be looking ahead. Too.
So, did I see that game is a 26? State's a 26-point underdog? Is that what it opened up at?
It opened up at 6. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down a little, probably 24 or something.
This is the best defense Alabama's going to play all year. Matt White said so.
Okay. I thought LSU was supposed to be the best defense they played against.
I will say this. I don't know if it's Alabama is that really that great. I think they're great. Don't get me wrong. I've never seen a team as solid. Look, I've seen a lot of Alabama teams come through Oxford that – their defense was unbelievable. Their offense was average. I've never seen them have it both ways. They've got it. They're great both ways right now.
Let me give you a little stat. Okay, Alabama's defense, as everybody knows, was young this year. You know, they had a new defensive coordinator. You know, they had to get into that. In the three games before, let's see, I don't want to mess this up. In the three games before Missouri, they gave up 67 points on defense. Since then, in the last three games, they've given up 31. So, and they played teams like Tennessee and Arkansas and somebody else, but you got to think that defense is starting to learn the scheme. And yeah, they are young, but they're growing up fast. And everybody says their defense is their weakness. Well, it may not be anymore. And I'm not saying LSU is a juggernaut on offense. I'm just saying that they're getting a lot better really fast. I got another friend of mine, a good friend. He texts me Thursday, I think, and he said, I just don't believe in Bama. LSU, they're going to cover blah, 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 all this. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So, I don't know, but they're one of the best teams on offense I've ever seen. And, you know, they keep having injuries. That Ruggs guy is unbelievable. His brother's at Ole Miss, and I don't know how that happened, but.
I don't think that I've ever seen a year where you didn't have two great teams, though, or one that another team that could even compete with say an Alabama this year. There's nobody in the same league as Alabama this year. There's nobody that's going to give them an issue on their way to the national title. Nobody. Do they lose? Let me ask you this. Do they win a game by less than 10 points?
They might if they get bored. But, I mean, I don't see, like, Saban's going to keep them right where they need to be. You know, the thing about it is that their offense is so good. I have a question. Why was Jalen Hurts sick? What happened to him? Did he have the poops or something?
He had some kind of surgery last week.
When that white kid came in, I lost my mind. I thought, this is it.
Yeah, he had some kind of surgery on a ankle or knee. I mean, it's not going to keep him out, but a week. So I'm figuring it's either meniscus or an MCL. A knee or something like that, something minor, because I mean they had said that he wasn't going to be gone long at all.
Right. Well, they're really good. That's all there is to it. And there's a lot of doubters and haters because a lot of people hate Alabama. I get it, but you know they're 17-1 in the first quarter, first half. 17-1. You don't have to be a rocket science to figure out that mark.
It is a vast ocean between Alabama and the rest of the world.
No question.
All right, so let's talk about this for a second, because I know that you're big into this. The girl that got caught on the fan cam during the LSU-Alabama game, she has blown the Twitter up.
The Cobra Kai?
The little reddish, strawberry blonde-headed girl?
She was mad. Yeah, I've seen her.
I knew as soon as that happened on TV that it was going to take the social media world by storm. There were going to be tons of memes created off of her face.
Oh, yeah. She definitely gave the perfect expression.
I think at that point it was probably 22-0, but when they caught her, she was actually driving down the field. At that point.
No, but she knew. She knew. And also, you know, let's be honest, somebody should call her and be like, look, at least you're not an Ole Miss fan.
I'm kidding. So, I made a post, and this is the truth. A guy that I was best friends with in college, ever since 2000, a picture of him was taken in 2007. It would have been Ogeron's last year.
I know exactly what you're talking about before you even say it.
He was sitting in the stands, and it was after a tough, tough loss. And he's leaning back in his chair with a disgruntled look on his face after a game. And it says, Ole Miss fans, be like, we just hotty toddy or something. It says something like that. That's a good friend of mine. He's been the face of Ole Miss losses ever since.
It's great. I mean, it's perfect. They could have done the content a little better, I think. But as far as the picture, it's worth a million words. And we all understand it. Every Ole Miss fan gets it. We've been there. We get it. It's not even like that sucks. It's like we know. We're not. That's what gets me about these guys when they're like, oh, y'all suck, you know. I'm like, dude, we know. Like, this isn't some new revelation. We go to the games. When I was a pledge, we went to hold seats and save seats. We didn't care if we won. That's when we had Deuce. He'd run the kickoff back half the time. These people that think we're, like, so emotionally caught up in football, like state fans. I mean, Jesse Presley, even himself, the biggest Tennessee blowhard in the world, told me last night, now this is a quote, I think I'm just going to become an Alabama fan like every other redneck. I told him, I said, go to Walmart, get you a sweater or a hoodie. That's all you got to do. I mean, you know, they're not going to get beat. You know, Tennessee had a big win over Charlotte. You know, it's tough to get up.
I it would be very easy to become an Alabama fan.
It's just like the Patriots when they were beating everybody so bad. And what is the two common denominator in that whole deal? They have the best coach and the best quarterback.
All right, let me ask you this. Who's better, 2001 Miami or 2018 Alabama?
It's
Do you remember that 2001 Miami team?
They were good, but it's not even close. It's not even close. Alabama's so much better. It's not even close.
I think Alabama has more depth. I think the number ones for Miami is better than the number ones of Alabama.
I don't know,
I think,
man.
Every single person on that Miami team went to the NFL. I don't have the roster right here in front of me, but almost every single person went to the NFL off that team.
And that's fine, but you got to realize Bama's playing freshmen and sophomores. They don't even have – I mean, they're not even – they're playing a bunch of young kids and whooping everybody. There's not going to be a letdown from this year. It's not like you don't even have to remember the players' names. You just watch what they run. And let me tell you another thing. Those boys were hitting Saturday night. That wasn't your average, we had dink and donk. They were hitting each other in the mouth. And it was awesome.
Holy crap. I'm just sitting here looking at this roster, man. It's unbelievable. Just listen to these names on 2001 Miami. Darrell Jones, Willis McGahee, Najee Davenport, Andre Johnson, Kevin Beard, Ken Dorsey, Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Jared Payton, Vernon Carey, Bob, all these guys, offensive linemen, went on to the NFL. Kellen Winslow, Jeremy Shockey. Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I think this team is going to be better next year. And I just don't see how a team is that good for that long. You know, you always usually have a letdown and you go through these stages and, you know, but they're not going to have one. Unless Saban retires, he has no reason to do that. Unless he just gets bored, which you've got to be a little bored. I love Nick Saban so much. I don't care who he's coaching for. He's my spirit animal. He gets so pissed off. I love it. I love it. And watching Orgeron's face when they had that illegal substitution, it just gave me so much happiness. I felt so good. I hope he couldn't sleep. I hope him and Mike the Tiger had a T-bone after the game in his living room.
Do you know how I think this all ends? I don't think it ends with Saban retiring. I think he does retire before what I'm going to say happens. Look, we live in a time of fairness, and especially when it comes to the NCAA, I think the NCAA comes calling.
There's no way.
They break through the layers. There's no better way to end the NCAA overall than for them to try to bust up Alabama.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. It's too many politics involved. They can hurt a program like Ole Miss because they don't care. And everybody outside of Mississippi doesn't care. You know, it's not like these people think that, like, oh, Ole Miss is going to get the death penalty. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Look at Baylor. They were good for, you know, what, 3-4 years maybe? They're in trouble. Nobody cares. Nobody checks their scores. Nobody cares if they win or lose. It's the same thing. They can't take down their moneymaker. That's their cow. That's how they get all their money. They're not taking them down. TV contracts aren't going to let it happen. It's
5 years.
It just doesn't make sense.
5 years.
Donkey.
The the conferences will break away from the NCAA. They will control their own money. They will control their own destiny. Look, you can't have this much money involved and divvy up to somebody that does nothing but cause you heartache.
No, you're right. That would be the best thing that could ever happen. Speaking of things that could happen, what's the chances of our coaches, Ole Miss's coaching staff, being the coaches next year? Do you think they've done a good job with what they've had to go through, or do you think this is getting a little ridiculous? Honestly,
I think Longo did himself in Saturday. Everybody's asked me about the Derek Nix, the defensive coordinator for Ole Miss deal. I'm fine with Nick staying on, and a lot of people will look at me like I'm crazy.
I don't know. Nix is the problem. He doesn't have any players.
Exactly. Exactly. Listen, I know it's Texas Tech, but Texas Tech ended up being a pretty decent team after we beat them. Look at what we did against Texas Tech when we actually had players.
Yeah. Derek Nix's situation is like this. You lease a rice pit by a really good hole, you lose water the day before season, that's what he got into. He's got a mess, and he can't do anything about it. I mean, you can't – these kids, they're – I don't know that they could start for Charlotte. But they're still trying. I'll give them that. Most of them are still trying. But anyway, enough about that.
I think Nix is safer than Longo. I think Longo's gone. Longo has proven that he can only beat inferior teams. When it comes to a good SEC defense. Yeah.
Four plays.
You're playing LSU. Everybody laughs at me about this, but Ole Miss was averaging 8 yards a carry against LSU, and we continue to throw the ball, throw it around like crazy. Try to. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, something that came across my mind. I said, man, this is a perfect topic for Mondays with Rob. Because, all right, one of my biggest pet peeves, second biggest pet peeve outside of moving is putting up a Christmas tree. Riding around Oxford Friday night and Saturday night, people are starting to put up Christmas trees. I mean, Halloween just ended Wednesday, and people are throwing Christmas trees up Thursday, Friday, Saturday already. Second biggest pet peeve is putting up a Christmas tree and decorating it. My wife loves decorating a tree. Let me ask you this question. Have you completely failed at something on purpose where you didn't have to do it in the future as a husband?
I do it every year. I'm not trying to act like a Scrooge, but that's the worst pain in my life is when she says, hey, you know, before you go hunting, we need to get the Christmas tree out of the attic, and you need to help us get it up. And luckily, my wife is really cool. She'll do the deck most well. She does a lot of the decorating. I have to do the lights for some reason. But when that is over, I'm one of the happiest people in the world. However, on the flip side, you know, Arkansas is closed on the 25th. I'm getting ready. I'm leaving out. What I do is on Thanksgiving, I go to my parents and her parents, and as soon as I'm done with that, I go back to Arkansas immediately. Okay? Same thing with Christmas. We get our Christmas done. I hope everybody had a good Christmas. Y'all have fun with your toys. I'm out of here. Before I can leave, she's like, you got to get the Christmas tree back in the attic. And I beg her every year, please just leave the lights off. I'll get it when I get back. I'll probably be back, what, in a week? Maybe 10 days? She's like, nope, can't leave till you get the tree. So I run and drive as fast as I can to my house, grab that tree, pretend like I'm doing a wrestling move on it. I don't even take the lights off. We get the ornaments off, and I shove the whole thing in the attic in about 5 minutes, and I'm gone. And I'm still upset about it, even though it's over with. I mean, it drives me insane. They're already playing Christmas music here. Like, what? Why? What? We hadn't even had Thanksgiving. Who decided this was okay? Probably the same person that made the flap. Who decided it was okay to play Christmas music in the 1st of November? This is why I pay Sirius and XM money. There's no question. Because I'm not listening to that crap. If you get me in somewhere that's hot, you know, like they got the heat turned up too high and the Christmas music comes on, I'm leaving. I'm not sitting through that. I wasn't made for that. And I'm sorry if I'm a Scrooge and all this and that, but I'm not doing it. If you want to have bonbons and set up 6 Christmas trees and go cut a 50-foot cedar tree down in the woods and put it up in your house, have fun, buddy. I mean, No. We have like a little dinky 7-foot artificial tree we got like from a dollar store or something the day after Christmas in 2002. And that's what we use. It looks horrible. Horrible. And nobody cares. As long as she has a tree, she gets to decorate it, and they put presents under it, I'm good. As long as I get it down and put it up. And every year, I act like that I'm having to fight the Northern soldiers in the Civil War by getting this Christmas tree down. Because that's how it feels.
I'm like expert level getting the tree down and putting it up. But when it comes early on in our marriage, we got into a serious fight when it came to decorating the tree. You're supposed to, her family tradition was to decorate it all together as a family. Well, man, we left home when my mom decorated the tree. We just got away from her. She wasn't going to be in a good mood. We went to deer camp on that. We got it down, and we took off as fast as we could. Right. So I say all that to say this. You know, I realized after that first year, this wasn't going to be a family tradition for us because it just caused too much friction. So I became really bad at helping decorate the tree. You know, I took all the fancy, really good ornaments that she wants to show off, and I hung them in the back of the tree where nobody could see them.
Yeah.
I failed miserably at it to the husband. And so now when it comes to decorating the tree, you know, she remembers me failing at helping her decorate, so now she doesn't even ask.
This tree that I've got, now that my boys have gotten a little older, I used to do this by myself. It's kind of hard by yourself. Now that my boys have got old enough to help, I let them hold the lights, and I spin the tree in a big-ass circle as fast as I can spin it, and they run the lights up till they can't reach anymore, and then I get on top and finish the rest. It takes me about 3 minutes. It's amazing. And she's just like, you're not doing it right. The lights have got to be here. I'm like, you do it. And so that's it. And she knows. And my buddy told me one time when she was pregnant, he said, if you ever want to get out of keeping them, just go ahead and screw up royally right off the bat. He said, doesn't matter. If she tells you to take them back and put them in the bath, do something crazy, flood the place, change the diaper and don't fasten it, something. Just do something where that she doesn't trust you. And I've been clear for 7 years. When I have to keep the kids, when I keep my boys, my children, she leaves me a list. She acts like that they're not going to survive. She has no clue. She thinks every time, she's like, now you remember, you've got the boys tomorrow night because we have early voting or we have whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She's like, what are y'all going to do? I'm like, I don't know. Watch football or I don't know. And she thinks like every time she texts, how are they doing? What are y'all doing? Where are y'all at? What are y'all up to? But just because she knows, and like she tells me all the time, she's like, the boys don't listen to you. I'm like, yeah, they do. She's like, no, they don't. And I'm like, I don't know. I love to tell you. She could say something to my kids with a voice, with a tone, and the whole house stops. And I'm like, I don't have that tone. Like, I'll get on to them, and they know when I'm mad, but nothing like her. When she gets on them, it's like instant, like, hold the phone. And she doesn't, I'm telling you, dude, she doesn't have to spank them. She doesn't have to put them in timeout. She can say of a sentence in a tone, and they turn into angels. I've never seen anything like it. So I'm like, why would I? Like, why? All you have to do, you're around them all the time. So she's great with them, thank God. And I get to hunt a lot. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't get to hunt as much as I do or fish and go jump in the river when Alabama wins and all that stuff. So I'm proud to have her. I just don't need to get in that tone with me because it scares me.
Well, I was just reading a nice article about, you know, failing miserably to get out of, you know, to get out of a certain thing around the house as a husband. And they had an interview with you in there, so I figured it would be a great topic to talk with you on the podcast.
Yeah, did you, have I ever told you the story about the booger-colored vase? Have I told that story on here?
No.
All right, when we got married, and I'm sorry if whoever bought this is listening. When we got married, somebody bought us this heinous bowl. It was pottery. It would have been a nice bowl, but it was booger green. Literally, it wasn't lime. It wasn't green. It looked like a big booger, okay? And she loved this thing. And I mean, to this day, I hated that thing worse than anything in the world. So I was telling my dad about it one night. I was like, man, I got this booger green vase, and Liz won't let me move it. It's right in the bathroom, right off the kitchen. Like, everybody sees it. It literally offended me. It was so ugly. And he was like, well, I can fix that. I said, how? He said, just knock it on the floor. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I do it all the time. So I walked in there one day and slapped that thing over on the floor. And I said, she got home. I said, Liz, I'm so sorry. She said, what? I said, I accidentally kind of tripped getting off the toilet and knocked your green vase on the floor. I have not broken one item in that house since then. But the booger green vase from hell in Satan's room is gone.
You guys that are listening to this podcast, you don't understand, you guys that are about to get married or just got married, the value of the information that you just received.
Yes, because you got to break it, man. I would still be looking at that ugly thing pretty much every day till now. I couldn't do it, man. It was horrible. Horrible, horrible. And then when stuff goes missing, you know, you're like, man, I don't know. Everything gets blamed on the housekeeper. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, have you seen so-and-so? No, hadn't seen it. That housekeeper again. You just, once you get the housekeeper, you got a pretty good excuse. But you got to break stuff that you hate that bad. Because it won't, it's like one of those things, that, it's the Christmas gift that keeps on giving. You can't get rid of it. So you have to break it.
Oh.
I wish I had a picture of that thing.
What is it left now? 12 days until Arkansas season opens up?
Yeah, it opens on the 17th, I think. Whatever Saturday week is.
And they, Arkansas doesn't have a youth season before, like that weekend before.
No, I think it's like March 14th. It's in taxidermy season.
I know that they have one. It's like during the middle of the season, or it's.
Well, they change it. They change it all the time, dude. They get so. They get so confused. They don't even know what they're like. Hey, well, let's just have it at the worst time possible, so nobody can do it.
I was scanning through.
Here we go. This is priceless. The youth waterfowl hunt in Arkansas this year is December 1st, which is totally worthless because I'd have to drive 6 hours to go hunting because the season's out, and February 2nd. So everybody's tired of hunting by February 2nd. Nobody wants to go. You're wore out. You feel like hell. But, oh, yeah, let's put the youth season February the 2nd. Perfect.
I knew it was one like early December and then during taxidermy season later on.
Yeah. I haven't got my pro staff stuff from Drake yet. I don't know what's going on if anybody's listening to this, but I got some new sick in yesterday or Friday. Oh my goodness, they're making good stuff now. Oh man, I was so warm deer hunting this weekend.
Whew. I was going to tell you, but I was going to tell you before, though, talking about that youth season, somebody had made a post inside of Duck South. You remember the movie Benchwarmers? I've seen it maybe a couple of times. It's got David Spade? Yeah, I guess it's David Spade in it. But anyway, during the movie, the team that they're playing baseball against, they bring in this Puerto Rican, and he's probably 30 years old, and his name is Pedro. And they want to check his ID to play Little League, and he has a folded up piece of paper and picture drawn of him, and it says Pedro is 12 years old, and it has $100. And I was thinking to myself, how representative that is of duck season. You know, there's a lot of nutheads that go out there and they shoot ducks during on youth day.
There's people all the time. Hey man, you got any juveniles ready? I'm like, dude, did you not kill enough during the regular season? Hey, taxidermy season is no joke, but to do it on youth hunt, that's a little much.
Anyway, I was just, that was hilarious. Somebody had posted that picture. Pedro is 12.
Oh, Pedro's two striking out everybody. He looks like freaking San Antonio or whatever up there. Pedro Martinez just throwing darts.
What do you got planned for the rest of the week until we do our pick 'em on Friday?
I don't know, man, but this Mississippi State-Bama matchup's got me real feeling some kind of way. I'm telling you. This could be a little tougher on Bama. Anyway, we'll see. I got mixed emotions right now. I'm gonna wait and see if the line goes down. I think the Sharps are gonna jump on State early at 26. But I'm excited. It's 1 week closer to duck season. I didn't have to drag and clean out a deer. Deer hunting's still the most boring thing in the world, ever. I jumped in the water after the Alabama game. It was cold. I'm trying to think of anything else. No, I'm excited. It's going to be a good week. Supposed to get 1.5 inches rain tonight. It's going to be a wet year for all the duck hunters. I hope you got your slicker.
I didn't even realize that last week during our conversation, you took that swipe at Spence about the being flaps down in the video.
Yeah, he kind of got upset.
he got in his episode the other night, and at the very beginning, we were talking about the webisode they just put out, which is awesome, like we talked about last week. And you said it so quick because I had to go back and listen to it, but you said it so quick that I missed it during our conversation.
Yeah, Spencer didn't miss it.
All right, man. Well, I will talk to you Friday. I enjoyed today. I knew you'd have, like I said, I knew you'd have a lot to say about the topic at hand at the very end of the podcast. So I enjoyed it again, Mr. Groom. Any final thoughts before we go?
Go Bama. Roll Tide.
All right, Rob, thank you again for being here. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com. We'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen.